let us give just a few words about a possible computation scheme for U, sigma, and V. Taking also into account the last observations, the last remarks, in particular the fact that computation of the three factors, the fact that the eigenvalues of this matrix are the squares of the singular values. So we start from computation of the eigenvalues of that matrix. The product appears at the first point I should like to avoid the computation of this product because I have already said this this would square the conditioning number of the problem. It is possible. An algorithm exists, which is called Gom-Lange algorithm. It is possible to compute. Q and D, who are such that this matrix is diagonalized by Q, so we write the spectra of the composition or Schur canonical form, it's the same thing. It's possible to compute Q and D such that with about O of two by N by N to the square flops without, this is the most relevant feature of this algorithm, without computing this matrix. Q and D can be computed directly from A with this particular algorithm which we don't explain in detail. Well, then first step, second step, we compute the product of A by Q, A, give a look to the sizes of these matrices. A is rectangular, Q is square, N by N. So the sizes are those. This product, so this product requires M by M to the square flops. At this point, 3, perform the QR decomposition with pivot, which we introduced last time. QR decomposition or factorization. Usually call it factorization. With the pivot in straight G and the two factors, you find them colored U the first and R the second. The scheme is U M by N. This is a QR factorization, so R is made in this way. This step requires we have already computed the complexity of the QR factorization. In this case, the complexity is about this point, since this was the principal amount of the complexity of the QR method used to solve the normal equation, just now we see that the complete computation of the SVD, the composition, give a complexity greater, much greater than, much larger than the complexity, because this is the order of magnitude of the complexity only for the QR method. We have 2m by n to the square, another term of this kind. So we stop to count the partial totals for the complexity. We go on describing the scheme. At this point, step 4, you consider again the product this matrix. We don't perform this product, but we see that it can be written as from the second point can be written as A can be written as C by Q to the H, but C can be written again as U R. This is a permutation matrix. So it's inverted, it's transpose by from the intermediate matrices that we have computed, we could write A in this way. So when we write this problem, we have this conjugate transposed and then A well you can assess then we compare this formula with this. The matrix Q is the same. We have used the matrix Q in the steps in the step two, same matrix, and expect out the composition if we impose an order on the diagonal D is unique. We have Q to H, Q to H, so D, the matrix D, which is diagonal, must be equal to the product of that four matrices in the middle. We put the permutation matrices P and P transpose on the left, and we obtain P transpose D P what does it mean? D is diagonal, so also P transpose D P is diagonal. Here you reorder the rows of D, and P you reorder in the same way, rearrange in the same way the columns of D. So the result is again a diagonal matrix. On the right hand side, you have the product of two matrices. R to the H was meaning that way. If you call, as usual, in some way the meaningful part of R with R sub 1, you find R sub 1 to the H by R sub 1. This matrix is a square. The product of two matrices in this way, one of them is the transpose conjugate of the other, is diagonal if and only if the matrix R sub 1 is this description can look somewhat confused, but the conclusion is that at this point look again at this equation, we recognize the factors of that CD. Why? Because on the left we have A, on the right we have U. are which has turned out to be the diagonal B transpose transposed, which is unitary because it's the permutation matrix, and to which is a unitary matrix. So this is the first factor of SVD. This is sigma. And the last two matrices put together, multiplied one by the other, form the third matrix V2D. This is a descriptive scheme of a possible way to compute the SVD decomposition. Another intermediate result, but very important because it justifies the use of truncated SVD decomposition, is this result. It's a geometric result, very impressive in the sense that shows this, the best approximation of a matrix A, N by N as usual, with a matrix A sub R having rank R. So you start from a generic matrix A having some rank A, and let us consider an integer R less than the true rank of A. Well, the best approximation of the starting matrix with another matrix having rank less than the starting matrix, the best approximation is the matrix formed by here it is this is its SVD decomposition, the same matrix of the SVD decomposition of A, the same matrix V of the SVD decomposition of A, and the intermediate matrix sigma in the middle is the truncated sigma. As you can imagine, sigma, the complete sigma sub R is formed by the first R singular values. The statement must be made more rigorous. What does it mean, the best approximation? The best approximation is the best in two norm of matrices. The correct statement of the theorem is this. Is we start from the SVD decomposition of A. we define A sub R exactly in this way. So we can write A bar sub R in this way. We can put also an R in the matrices U and V, or can write as you can find on the statement of the theorem, sum of the rank one matrices of the form singular value, column, corresponding column of U, corresponding column of V to the H, where the sum stops at the index R. It's the same thing. This is a definition. Let S be the set of matrices B of the same sizes as A, so M by N, having rank exactly R. L'insieme delle matrici di rango R. E cosa voglio mostrare? Quello che ho scritto qui in questo senso, il minimo della norma 2, norma 2 di matrice, della differenza A meno B, dove B varia, B belongs to the set S of B of matrices B having rank R is given exactly by this matrix, and the value of this minimum is just sigma sub R plus 1. That is the first singular value that has been truncated. Here we reach R, the successive singular value sigma sub R plus 1. The proof uses several properties that we have just listed. Which is the usual strategy to prove that a minimum has an assigned value? There are two points. First, we prove that this minimum is attained by some matrix. So, first we prove exactly this. Second, if you want to see that this is the minimum, it will be sufficient to see that for any B in S, the norm of the difference is larger or equal than the minimum value. The first point is simple, because you use the SVD of A, U sigma D to the H, the definition of A sub R, U sigma R is the same thing, D H. Use the invariance of the two norm with respect to the product by unitary matrices. You could put as a factor u on the left and v to the h on the right, in the middle sigma minus sigma sub r is left. Unitary matrices can be cancelled, so the norm is the same as the norm of the difference of these two matrices. Quite simple to see that since the matrix sigma minus sigma sub r is the first r positions give zero. From r plus one, you have sigma sub r plus one, and so on. So the two norm of this is exactly the first singular value of the difference, which is this. So the first point is accomplished. This a little bit more tricky to see this, to prove this inequality, but it can be done in more straight way with respect to the proof in the file. Let us reason according to this idea. We have to consider the difference, the norm of the difference A minus B. Now, B has rank R. If the only assumption we have on B is this, the rank is R. So this is the same thing that saying that the dimension of the kernel of B is the number of columns, which is n, minus r. It is a consequence of the famous theorem of linear algebra, the Grassmann theorem. We also know that the image of a particular subspace, consider the subspace T spanned by what? By the vectors, the columns, the first until the columns with index r plus 1 of V. So this is a subspace of C to The dimension of this subspace is clearly a plus one. Now, the idea is this, the underlying idea, this truth. If you consider the intersection between the kernel of B and this subspace, both are subspaces of C to the N. The dimension of of this intersection. Can we say anything about the intersection, the dimension of this intersection? If you consider the union of these two subspaces, and again you guess which is the dimension. The dimension of the union of two subspaces, there is a formula which says that is the dimension of the first plus the dimension of the second minus the dimension of intersection. But the dimension of N is of the kernel, sorry, the dimension of kernel is N minus R. This is N minus R plus. The dimension of T is R plus 1. Minus this number, the dimension of the intersection. The conclusion for the dimension is that N plus 1 minus dimension is a number that cannot be larger than N, because this is a subspace of C to N. You can serve N and have that 1 is less or equal the dimension of this intersection. All this has been said in order to prove that this intersection contains at least one non-zero vector. This contains non-zero, it's a subspace, non-zero vectors, because it has at least dimension 1. Well, say that Z is a non-zero vector. Which belongs to this intersection. This means B by Z equal to zero. If Z is in the kernel, B by Z is zero. Z is also a linear combination of the first r plus one columns of V. So we may write Z as V r plus one, you know well what does it mean, by a vector in the book, the densities of the vector of the linear combination are colored alpha sub 1, alpha sub r plus 1. Linear combination of the first r plus 1 columns of V. The goal, the use that we need of this vector Z is the following. The norm 2, the 2 norm, which is the maximum of the norm on the norm, the set of normalized vector of the two norms of these vectors, it's a maximum we can require that the two norm of Z is 1. So this norm is larger, the matrix norm of the difference is larger than A minus B by Z. Z is a particular, a very particular, very special vector. It is not restrictive to suppose that it has norm 1, which now we use the property enjoyed by Z. B by Z is 0. So this norm reduces to the norm of the vector A by Z. So the aim now will be to prove that the two norm of this vector is larger than sigma sub r plus 1. Well, let us check better. That vector, we have, we now use the SVD of A, so we have U sigma VH Z in the usual way. We have the two norm. We cancel, as usual, the matrix U, because it is unitary. Let us see better the vector inside the norm. Sigma it is the complete matrix sigma. Here is V to the H. Here is Z, which can be written as V R plus 1 multiplied by the vector alpha sub 1, alpha sub R plus 1. We have outside the two norm. Now it is quite simple, I could say, to say that we drop off the zero part of sigma, sigma, sigma.
Or is it simpler to do it this way?
If we leave sigma complete, V complete,
VH,
we enlarge
this matrix V
by adding the left columns and add some zero in the tail parts of the vector outside the node. Finally, V to VH by V is the advantage to have evolver, the wool matrix V makes, they make, the product makes the identity. The identity by sigma, so sigma, sigma by this product gives a column vector of the form sigma sub 1 by alpha sub 1 and so on, sigma sub r plus 1 by the corresponding alpha. In the last positions, there are all zeros. The conclusion. The two norm of this vector is the square root of the sum of the squares of the entries. So we have sum sigma alpha sub I from 1 to r plus 1 square. The modulus, the sigmas are real, so we can write simply sigma. For the number, complex number alpha, we have the squares of the modulus, right? All these were equalities equal to. Now I can substitute for all sigmas the minimum, the smallest, that is the last. The index is r plus 1 squared. The sum of the alpha sub I moduli squared is left. I put
the sigma outside the square root
and I have this sum,
which must give what?
1. Because this sum is the norm of Z
which was exactly 1. So we have
in a complicated way, but we have shown that all of these differences in norm A minus B in norm are not less than sigma sub r plus 1. So the proof is complete.
Well, we stop here. Obviously, next time we conclude with this topic with the main results, and maybe if we have sufficient time, at least one example.